We're working on a series on testing of our faith. Last week we talked about some of the various trials by which the tests come. I wanted to remind us that the trials come because of our faith, not because of our culture. So whether we live in a culture that's supportive of Christianity or opposed to Christianity, the tests come not first of all because of the culture, but because of our confession of Christ. And we talked then about the various trials. We talked about how they are indeed various. It can be an internal struggle, maybe an external circumstance. Could be a physical challenge of some sort, a health issue or something like that. It could be psychological pressure. The test could come from enemies, could arise from in-house. So just various. I mean, they are indeed trials, things that put pressure on us, things that cause us to struggle, things that hurt, things that cause you to feel pain and some sorrow. And I think the Lord has a custom designed package of various trials that He's designed specifically for you. And it's important, don't be ashamed of your package. So when you suffer, because of your faith, there will be cause at times or reason at times to be tempted to be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of, the various trials that come to you because of your faith. Today I want us to consider just the main thing that the various trials are supposed to produce. So our faith gets tested by these various trials. The various trials are supposed to produce some things. I want to consider what's the main thing that it's supposed to produce. And the main thing that it's supposed to produce is in the scripture called endurance, perseverance. A couple of familiar verses just to start with from Romans. We exalt in our tribulations, that's the test, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance. There's the number one result. In the perseverance, proven character. The word there is somebody who's passed the test. Proven. And proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. And it goes on from there. But just there, the tribulations, the test, is said to bring about perseverance. So we want to talk about that today. And of course, out of James, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Actually, the same word. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So I want to talk a little bit about that perseverance, that endurance, that the trials are supposed to produce on its way to a proven faith, on its way to a faith that's been tested and passed the test. So I want to talk just for kind of simply, without being too in-depth, about what is perseverance, what is endurance, and why do we need it? Why do you have to endure? And then how do the tests that come, the various trials, work to produce the endurance, the perseverance? So first, just what is it? And probably all of us know there's a bunch of words in the scripture, multiple words that focus and gather around this idea of perseverance and endurance. I hope that itself becomes instructive to you. That kind of words, scripture sure has a lot of words for this issue. Hold fast. Hold fast this or hold fast that. Continue. Most of these words, by the way, as far as Greeks, are just various forms of a single word family. It's like a root verb, and then it's got a bunch of different prepositions tacked onto the front of it, and they struggle to how to translate all the different words differently, but it's all the same family. So hold fast, continue, abide, be steadfast, immovable, constant. Perhaps prayer, that prayer should be constant, or remembering, that's constant. Faithful, the very word faithful. Of course, the words persevere and endure. I mean, if you took just the ones I've given you and looked those all up in a concordance, you'd have a lot of New Testament words, a lot of references. So there's multiple words that speak to this issue, that we have to hold fast, that we have to continue, that we have to be constant, that we have to persevere, that we have to be steadfast. The words can have both an active sense and a passive sense. And they can have that active or passive sense with respect to both good things and bad things. So the idea of persevering or being steadfast might have the sense of actively pursuing the good. You know, you're chasing it down. You're after it. You're running after it. You're trying to take hold of it. You're continuing to seek it. You can also have the sense of actively resisting evil. You know, you keep pushing it away, and you keep running away, and you keep fleeing. You know, you keep resisting. Even though it keeps coming back, you keep pushing it away. You know, keep saying no. So it can have the sense of actively resisting, opposing evil. It can have the sense of a more passive sense of you're just hanging on to the good. I'm just sitting here, I'm just hanging on, not doing much, I'm just holding fast. I remember kind of when I was first teaching Stephen to ride in an inner tube behind the boat, he just, I think it was a good thing, but he certainly just passively endured it. You know, he'd just get in it, close his eyes, and wait for it to be done. He even said to his sister, it's kind of like, you close your eyes, it doesn't seem like it lasts so long. So you just holding fast, you know, this might be a good thing, but I'm just going to hold fast, just sit here and wait for it to be over. Or, of course, you can have a sense of passively resisting evil or the bad things. You can't drag me in. You know, I'm just staying right here, not I'm unmoved. You know, just passive, just unmoved by the temptation or by the lure. So that's many words, both an active sense, passive sense, both with respect to good and evil. Let's let that suffice just for what is it that we're talking about. So the second issue, the main thing here, why? Why do you want to have endurance? Why do you want to have perseverance? Why do you need to be steadfast? All of those words, the be steadfast, you know, abide, hold fast, endure, persevere, all of those words bear testimony, don't they, to the fact that the Christian life involves both time and distance. I mean, if you confessed the Lord and we shot you dead and you went home to glory, kind of like, we wouldn't have all these words of hold fast, be steadfast, endure, persevere, because you would only have to hang on to it for about 30 seconds while we killed you. We don't send you home. So the fact that you get all these words, you know, bears testimony to the fact that Christian life involves time. You're going to have to hang on to these things over time. The times and the seasons will themselves bring tests. And if perhaps, maybe you'll do fine in the summer, but then, you know, your perseverance, your endurance will fail during the winter. And you'll freeze to death in the winter. Maybe on the other side, kind of like, you do okay in the winter. You know, manage how to stay warm and, you know, keep the fires burning, kind of your faith during the winter season. But then summer comes, you know, and you wilt from the heat. So just, you're going to have to know how to sustain and how to endure and how to persevere over time and through the seasons that come with time. And you're going to have to know how to do Christianity over distance. You're going to have to know how to cross the wilderness. You're going to have to know how to do some conquering of the land, you know, displacing of the enemies. Maybe you like it out there in the wilderness where it's kind of harsh, but there's no enemies in sight. You know, and then as soon as you get over there close to the land flowing with milk and honey, you're kind of like, well, this is a nice place, but I don't like all the enemies around. You know, maybe after you, maybe you do fine crossing the wilderness and entering the land and conquering the enemies and fighting the battle, and then you settle down in kind of prosperity and peace, and that gets you. You know, you can't handle the peace. You become complacent. So just over distance, Christian life, you know, covers some ground. So we need perseverance for that reason. So here I want to just show you a few gleanings from some verses from the scripture of why perseverance, why endurance. Some of them will be simple. Some of it's just kind of lifting it from the context or the story just to call attention to something. So here's the first one, Matthew 24, a chapter about kind of all the happenings at the end of the age. But Jesus says, the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The only way to get to the end is to endure to it. It's the only way anybody ever makes it to the end. So if you want to make it to the end, you're going to have to endure, because that's how you get there. So at the finish line, you know, if you see me there or I see you there, I'll know that you have endured. Or you'll know that I have endured, because that's how you get there. You endure to the end. So one of the reasons it's needed is because we'd like to finish. If you'd like to finish, you'll have to persevere. Second one. But the seed in the good soil, this is the parable of the four different soils that the seed gets thrown into. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. If I were writing this parable the way I'd like it, I'd leave out those last two words. That you could just bear fruit without perseverance. But Christ says, it's good soil. You know, it receives the seed. It's an honest and good heart. But it only bears fruit if there's perseverance. Obviously, the picture here is, in order for a seed to go from a seed to something that's bearing fruit at harvest, it's got to go through some type of process. It's going to both take time and through a bunch of different stages. So if you want fruit, God doesn't sow fruit, he sows seeds. And you have to persevere to make it from the seed that he's sown or that he's used you to sow. You know, if you're a laborer in the vineyard, you also have to be content to be a person who sows seed. You know, I would like to be able to plant like a full-grown oak in Steve's life. But you can't do that. The Lord doesn't give full-grown oaks to just be plopped into somebody else's life. You know, he gives you nuts. So you have to, give Steve one of your nuts and plant an acorn in him. And then Steve has to persevere, before that nut will grow up to be the full-grown oak that bears fruit. So if you want to bear fruit, the only way you can get it is to persevere. Another reason it's needed. Here out of Luke, also Jesus, it's like this phrase, by your endurance you will gain your life. The idea here is not just of making it to the end, but of gaining something. And here, something significant, your own life. You have to kind of like win through by endurance and perseverance to gain the word here is soul. It's who you are as a person. You have to persevere in order to take hold of that. But by endurance and by perseverance, you can gain your life, gain your own soul. Kind of a neat phrase. Okay, here's some more. Out of Romans chapter 2. Talking about it's a difficult passage. If you know this passage, I think it's talking about Christians, but it talks about those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. To them will be given eternal life. That's the passage. But here the idea of perseverance in doing good. So there's constant effort. There's repeated patterns to produce the good work, the good deeds, do the good stuff that you're supposed to do. This is one of the passages, by the way, in Paul that reminds us that justification by faith includes the idea of being faithful. Rather than that justification by faith means that you can have faith and not do anything faithfully. Well, this reminds us that justification by faith, unto eternal life includes faithfulness, perseverance, and doing the good stuff. that the Lord's purpose and plan for us. So just to do the stuff that you're supposed to do. You need perseverance. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Out of Romans 15. Here's something about relationship. Again, the idea of gaining something, but of gaining something in relationship to each other. That's only by perseverance that we can gain in our relationship that coveted place, that desired place of being of one mind with each other. So we're going to have to work at it. You know, if you want to be one mind with the people in this room or people at this church, you know, we're going to need perseverance to take hold of that in our relationship. I mean, any married couple could tell you that to be of one mind just between two people in the marriage takes perseverance. You know, you got to work at it to get there, right? Unless one of you caves in and the other one just is his mind or her mind that holds sway. Maybe some of us have taken that route. But here, perseverance to attain something in a relationship. If we endure, we will also reign with him. I hope you notice that the endure part often comes in the if clause. If you persevere, if you continue, if you hold fast, if you're steadfast, here, if you endure, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Again, the idea of gaining something through endurance. But here, it's something in the future. You know, it's not like a character quality or a change in who you are. It's not your own soul here. But it's gaining some responsibility and some activity, you know, in the future by way of reward because of endurance. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Part of the charge to Timothy. Here, there's quite a few verses that are something along this line. The way to get through hard stuff is to endure it. Maybe a parallel type of verse. Again, there's many. Something about Christ, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So when hard stuff, when difficult stuff comes, the way to get through it, the way to deal with it is to endure. So many places is how, you know, the difficult and hard and the trying is handled by just enduring it. And then just one more out of Hebrews chapter 12, which is a little passage about, you know, the Lord disciplines his sons, disciplines those whom he loves. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with us as with sons. You know, so that you have to endure to learn the lessons. To neither faint nor count it lightly, but to learn the lessons that come with discipline. And God disciplines every child of his, everybody that he calls. So there's a few reasons, at least, you know, from the scripture about, well, why do I have to persevere? You know, why do I have to endure? In order to, you know, make it to the end, in order to bear fruit, in order to gain your own life, in order to gain something in relationships, you know, in order to learn the lessons, in order to make it through hard times. For all of those types of things, endurance is needed. So then the third thing that I wanted to just call attention to is, well, how then does the endurance help to then give us a proven faith? The various trials are supposed to produce endurance, kind of like, how then do you end up with a proven faith, you know, if you learn the endurance, if you learn the perseverance? And I just put down four things. I said, at times the test can be hard. And if you don't endure, the hardness of it will push you away, you know, from just walking the road that the Lord has for you. So if, because it's hard, you know, when it gets tough, you know, you go shopping instead of staying faithful or something like that. So it's possible if you don't endure, when the tests are hard, the tests are successful in just pushing you away. At other times, the tests will offer you something that's very attractive. very interesting. But also, they attract you away. They lure you away. They're distracting. So that if you don't endure, the test will come, and you'll be lured away. You know, you'll get enamored of something else, something that's interesting. You know, the new iPhones just came out, kind of like, you know, it's not hard, but it's attractive, and it pulls you away. So you can be lured away. Other times, the test will present to us something that's tricky, something that's subtle. And if you're not endured, you'll be talked out of, you know, the path that you should walk. Some deception here. It's like the salesman comes and he's subtle, he's tricky, like what happened in the Garden of Eden. And you get talked out of it. And now you're off doing something else, walking a different path because you got tricked. So you have to endure in order not to be, you know, deceived and led astray. And then the fourth thing, you know, the tests at time offer long distances or, you know, long amounts of time, sometimes delay. And sometimes if there's distance and if there's delay time-wise, if we don't endure, we drift away. You know, because you become bored or become weary. This is kind of like a concern in the book of Hebrews. And in some ways, I'm probably almost more concerned about this last one than the idea that the hard thing will push you away, or that the attractive thing will lure you away, or that the subtle thing will trick you away. It's that the length of the journey, you know, that we drift away. You know, we just get occupied with other things. And it's like I put you in the car and we're going to drive to San Gabriel and I say, pay attention the whole trip. No problem. I put you in the car and get a drive to Ohio and I say, pay attention the whole way. You know, you get, you know, the 700 mile through Nebraska. You know, I drifted a little bit. It's very possible to do that, you know, in the Christian life. Okay, fine. You hung in there for 12 years. But then you just drifted away, you know, because of some tests. But on the other side, if, you know, the hard thing doesn't push you away, the attractive, interesting, distracting thing doesn't lure you away, you don't get talked out of it by some subtle or tricky thing, and you hold fast and are steadfast, and you don't drift away, even over the long period of time or the great distance, then you'll end up with a tested faith and a proven faith, kind of like, you know what? You know, we tried to lure them away, tried to get them tired, you know, so you just grow weary in well-doing. That didn't work. We tried just really hard to go uphill. That didn't work. You know, you end up with a proven faith. And then you can do the next steps of what the scripture says. If you have a proven faith, you know, results in hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. So some pretty good outcomes there. So I want to conclude just with this. There's several passages in the New Testament that read something like this. It says, He, that's Christ, has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So one of those passages that just speak to what's the outcome, you know, of belonging to Christ. Here it's contained in the words, to be holy and blameless before him and beyond reproach. That's his own purpose, for which he's done all the work of reconciliation. But then there's one condition attached. And there are several places in the New Testament where this great gift of the Lord, this great salvation given to us, can be received, can be known, can be walked in under one condition. And the condition is going to be something like this. If you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, so that we obtain the great gift, that we receive the fulfillment of the promise under one condition, continue. It's one of those things, Christian life is one of those things that at the end you must be present to win. It really is. You know, kind of like, well, yeah, you got your ticket 30 years ago. That's great. But you have to be present with your ticket there at the final drawing to win. You have to continue. You have to persevere. You have to endure. You have to be present to win. So, just kind of simply, I want to encourage all of us. Identify some ways or some areas where you need to persevere in your own walk with the Lord right now. You know, it may be a place that's hard. It may be a place that's tricky. It may be a place that's, you know, just kind of like interesting and attractive. It could be just, I'm just weary, you know, and I'm thinking of drifting away. But identify perhaps places where you're encountering some of the various trials, and that it's important for you to do all this persevere, be steadfast, continue, abide type of stuff. It's not very glamorous, I grant you that. But if you want to bear fruit, you get in fruit from the seed that was planted perhaps years ago by perseverance. If you want to gain something, perhaps your own life, perhaps something in relationships, you've got to do it by persevering. If you want to get done the stuff you're supposed to do, the good works that you're supposed to get done, you know, you got to do them by continuing to seek to do good. Maybe it's just get through a difficult place. Maybe you're doing the inner tube ride right now and you just got to close your eyes and hang on. Just grit your teeth and wait until it's done. That's how you get through the difficult place. Maybe it's simply you have to persevere because you're not yet at the end. You're not yet attained. You're not yet finished. And so to make it to the end, you got to endure in order to get saved at the end. So I encourage you in your own mind, in your own heart, just as you reflect on your own life, identify some places where, you know what? I need to have the trial produce in me perseverance, endurance, actively, passively, against the bad stuff or for the good thing, but I need to persevere. I need to endure. That's what the trials is, the Lord's purpose is for it to actually produce in us. It's exactly those characteristics. And the outcome of that is, you've been tried. In various ways, and now you have a proven faith. It's passed the test. So I hope that, again, it's not very glamorous, but it's important, and it's necessary, and it yields a great outcome. So I hope that itself gives you sufficient reason. Let's close in prayer. Father, when the various trials that are necessary to test our faith come our way, Father, we think of this great result that the trials are meant to produce in us, this endurance, this perseverance. Father, we pray that the trials would work exactly that in each one of us. Father, help us to identify where it's important right now in the midst of trial to hold fast, to be constant, to continue. Father, to not drift away or be lured away or, Father, to give up. Father, I pray for each one here in the midst of the seasons, in the midst of the course, that you'd help her, that you'd help him to persevere, make it through the hard place, take hold of and to gain and to bear the fruit and Father, all these things that your word identifies that perseverance is needed for in order to make it to. Father, help us to be that kind of people. Father, for we would be among those who by our perseverance have gained our lives and are present at the end, receive from you the fulfillment and the great promise. Lord, help us to be a faithful people, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So greet one another.